questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. We have a very special guest speaker for today's program, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, to continue our discussion regarding the sinning of the prophets and the infallibility of Prophet Adam. So how was it possible that the Satan deceived him? You talked about nice points regarding, we can say, the feasibility and the possibility of the prophets doing any sin or mistake in their lives. And you talked about the concept of the isma of the prophets. Now, for today's discussion, let's get to some other aspects of this important part, concept, that is the isma of the prophets. First of all, you said that isma, we can say, is regarded in both cases, both sinning and doing mistakes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As I mentioned, when it comes to the issue of infallibility of the prophets, and of course for the Shia, infallibility of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the question is that what is the limits of this infallibility?
Yes.
Does it mean that they are free from any kind of sins, both major ones, minor ones, intentional, unintentional? And does it mean that they are free from any kind of mistakes? And also the question is that, are they free from the sins and mistakes after the prophethood and imamate, or also it includes the time before that? There are different viewpoints in this regard. I shared different viewpoints held by Shia and Sunni scholars in the previous session. And as I mentioned, the main idea among the Shia scholars is that they are free from any kind of sin and mistake, intentional, unintentional, major, minor, before and after prophethood and imamate. And I promise to mention some arguments for this belief.
Okay.
Now, the first argument is that, and I go back to what you rightly mentioned in the previous episode about regarding the knowledge of the prophets and the imams about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the real nature of the sins.
Yes.
Now, the argument is that if the prophets commit some sins or mistakes, they are considered, less virtuous than ordinary people, because ordinary people, they do not have such understanding, such knowledge about the realities of the world. But when it comes to the prophets and the imams, they have such intuition, such knowledge about the reality of
reality and the nature of the sins.
Exactly.
Is what it say. That's
so
right.
As I mentioned in the previous session, we know that we believe in the tajassum of the deeds, embodiments of the deeds, which means that when you're committing a sin, it is as if, not as if, exactly you are, for example, eating fire. If you're eating the properties of the orphans people, for example. So if we know that when I'm, for example, backbiting, I'm really, not just metaphorically, I'm eating the flesh of a dead body. Am I ready to do that? Of course not. All the people would be away from backbiting. But the point is that the ordinary people, they do not have such intuition and such knowledge. But when it comes to the prophets and the imams, they have this knowledge. They see this reality. And of course, this is the same is true to some extent for some of the great mystics as well. So they are not ready to do that because they are watching the real nature of these acts. So first point is that then under such conditions, if the prophets and the imams commit sins, it means that they are less virtuous than the ordinary people and cannot be accepted.
That's right.
Okay. The second argument is that if the prophets and the imams, they commit some sins and we accept that, then people will not trust them anymore. So And the whole philosophy for sending the prophets is in vain.
That's
Allah
right.
subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the prophets and then the imams to guide the people.
Yes.
And now imagine that we see the prophets committing sins, or now the blood imam, they're committing sins. Are you ready to trust that prophet anymore?
Mm-hmm.
No. You see that the same prophet who is asking me to be away from the sins, he is committing the same sins. So
that's
we're
right.
not going to follow that prophet. And it is against the philosophy of God sending the prophets and then the imams.
That's right.
And the third argument is regarding the mistakes, committing some mistakes. Okay, some Sunni scholars believe that it is not possible for the prophets to commit a sin, but they may commit some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Shia scholars believe that no, the prophets and the imams are free from mistakes too. Why? And maybe one famous question is that, is it possible for a prophet, for example, he is leading a jama'ah prayer, a
yes.
congregational prayer, and instead of finishing the prayer in the fourth rak'ah, he finishes in the third
okay.
rak'ah, which means he is committing a mistake.
Yes.
Now, many Sunni scholars believe that, yes, it is possible. But
okay.
according to the Shia scholars, the famous viewpoint is that, no, it is not possible. Why? Because if you see a prophet mm-hmm. committing such mistakes and he's repeating the same mistakes, again, you lose
the trust and confidence
the trust
yes.
and, in
yes.
that prophet.
Yes.
You may say that, okay, the same prophet make a mistake when he's
yes.
talking to me regarding the word of God,
okay.
the revelation,
mm-hmm.
and my Islamic and religious responsibilities. So, again, the philosophy of sending prophets would
yes.
be no. So for us to trust the prophets mm-hmm. and the imam, they should be free from any kind of sins and mistakes.
So,
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way.
Sorry, is Prophet Muhammad an exception from the other prophets too in this regard or
no?
When all the prophets are addressed the same, or no, Prophet Muhammad has been addressed specifically in the Holy Quran too, that, for example, you are something different, or you are the last, since you are the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khatam al-Anbiya, so your infallibility will be more than them.
There are two issues here. First of all, when it comes to the minimum infallibility and the required infallibility for all the prophets, they are the same.
Mm-hmm.
They are free, according to the
yes.
famous viewpoint among the Shi'as, they are free from any kind of sin, minor, major, free from any kind of mistake, both before and after their prophethood. This is the same for all the prophets. But does it mean that all the prophets are in the same level of perfection? No, it is another story. And that is why, for example, we have five chosen prophets that we call Ulul Azm prophets. So when it comes to their rank before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a difference. And of course, for sure, our prophet, peace be upon him and his family, is the most perfect human being and the most perfect prophet, and he's preferred over all other prophets. But all the prophets share the required and minimum infallibility that I
right.
mentioned.
So now the question that pops up is that, according to what you said, we can say the prophets are infallible, so they cannot be deceived. So how does Satan deceived Adam?
To answer this question, I'm sharing the viewpoints of, both Shia and Sunni scholars. Some of the scholars who believe that the prophets may commit a minor sin, they answering this question, they say that, okay, it was a minor sin. Of course, this is not accepted by the Shia. The second viewpoint is that some scholars, especially the Sunni scholars, believe that the prophets may commit a sin before their prophethood. And at that time, Prophet Adam is not a prophet, so he may commit such a sin. again, this is another viewpoint, but the Shia do not believe in this viewpoint because according to the famous idea for the Shia, they are free from any kind of sin both before and after prophethood.
That's right.
And of course, they also reject this claim by saying that Adam was a prophet at that time too. This mm-hmm. is a viewpoint because Jibreel used to bring revelation to him and it meant prophethood. Now, when it comes to Shia viewpoint, they believe that although the word Asa is used in the Noble Book of Quran, but based on a very famous sentence which reads Hasanatul Abrar Sayyatul Muqarrabin, the good deeds of good people are considered as sin for those close people toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Now, let me give an example. So, for example, for an ordinary person, it is very natural to, for example, go to a market, to a fast food, and eat sandwich, for example.
Yes.
But imagine that a president, a great scholar, does the same. Is it considered, natural? Of course not. People may blame that president and that scholar for doing that action.
Okay.
Or, for example, when it comes to wearing a special clothes, it mm-hmm. might be very normal for some people, but for a great scholar, for example, it might be considered as a very, wrong action.
Mm-hmm.
So the same is true about the deeds of the prophets and the imams. So let me give an example for the mystics who are not considered as infallible. So as an ordinary person, if you say your prayer 5 minutes after Adhan, it is okay. It is accepted from you. But a mystic who is in a high level
yes.
of spirituality,
yes.
he may consider it as an act of sin for just delaying the prayer for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that technically it is not a sin.
Yes.
But he says that in his supplication, "Oh Allah, I have disobeyed you.
Mm-hmm.
I have done a very, wrong action,
wrong
for example."
Wrong action, that's right. So and the meaning of wrong here for a prophet and ordinary is different.
That's the point.
That's right.
Okay. And that is why Imam Ali alayhi salam in
yes.
the famous Dua Kumail,
yes.
in many phrases, he uses the word dhamb and hisyan
yes.
and so on. He's not talking about the sins that we are committing.
Or Imam As-Sajjad in his Dua.
Exactly.
Says, okay.
So
okay.
for each and every person, based on his or her level before God, the definition of dhamb or hisyan differ.
Mm-hmm.
So the same is true according to this viewpoint
yes.
regarding what is done by some of the prophets or the imams, and they consider it as hisyan
mm-hmm.
or dhamb. But this is in their viewpoint and based on
mm-hmm.
their level, but
yes.
not the technical definition of the word hisyan or dhamb.
This is the leaving the preferred action,
exactly.
spirit say.
Thank you for that.
That's right.
That is why we have the concept of tark aula.
Mm-hmm.
So it was preferred for example, Dawood alayhi salam not to do that judgment before hearing
yes.
the other side's claim. It was preferred for Adam alayhi salam not to eat from that tree and so on and so forth. So according to the famous idea among the Shia scholars, Adam alayhi salam did not
yes.
commit any sin.
That's right.
It was only a tarke ola, which technically speaking for us, it is not
mm-hmm.
a sin.
Okay.
For himself, he considered it as a sin because of his great level and position before
right.
Allah subhanahu wa
okay.
ta'ala.
That's right. And some might say that in the story of Prophet Adam and his deception, especially through the Adam, Prophet Adam was asked in order to leave an unwanted action and not a forbidden action. Again, this was not again a sin. What is called as Nahya Tanzihi or Nahya Tahrimi. What
yeah,
is it exactly?
This is another explanation which is mentioned by some of the scholars to explain what was done
yes.
by Adam alayhi salam. Those people who believe in this mainly, begin by saying that that realm was not the realm of ordering the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because commanding the people begins by the religion. And at that time, there is no revealed religion, which means there is no wajib and haram. There
mm-hmm.
is no obligation and forbidden actions. That is why we call it instead of Amr Maulavi, Amr Irshadi,
that's
which
right.
means that it was a guideline for
yes.
Adam. It was not an order, I mean, a religious
A divine
obligation.
Order.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. Okay.
That is why we cannot consider it as a sin, because sin means to disobey what we call it Amr Maulavi, a religious
yes.
obligation.
Yes, yes.
But it is only Irshad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding Adam alayhi salam that if you do so, the result is that you would be cast.
Mm-hmm.
So technically speaking, it is not, forbidden for him.
Yes.
It is not Amr Maulavi. It is not a sin. It
mm-hmm.
is not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, he prefers to not act upon that guideline or only.
That's right.
I mean, what we call it, Amr Irshadi.
Yes.
And technically speaking, based on this explanation, it is not an act of, disobeying Allah
That's
subhanahu
right.
wa ta'ala. It has a negative result, and the negative result was that Adam and Eve alayhi salam, they were cast down from that place and they came to this earth, but it doesn't mean that they have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. Of course, still the concept of hubut has so much to say.
Sure.
We have to, inshallah, dedicate a specific session to that. What does it mean by hubut? We can say to the earth, weren't they living on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
Where they have been living? Okay, and all laws according to the Islamic and Quranic references. But thank you, much, Sheikh Helmi, for a nice elaboration.
My pleasure.
Really fruitful. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein. Hassan.